Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY21 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference has been recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vaswani.
Thank you, Janice. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q2 and H1 FY21 earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will begin with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will open the call for a Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard has been placed in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join our call. I hope all of you are safe and well. The earnings for the second quarter and for the half-year ended 30th September 2020 were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, 10th November 2020. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. As you all know, we started the fiscal year with significant disruption in the business due to the lockdown and restrictions on activity, which began to ease by the latter half of the first quarter. During quarter two, we have witnessed a sharp recovery in demand, resulting in a rebound in financial performance. This has been driven by the performance of the sanitaryware and faucetware business, which are our core businesses and the most profitable verticals in our fold. The sanitaryware business, which had not performed to expectations in recent quarters, has recovered strongly in Q2 of this year, and the faucetware business, which has been delivering robust growth for several quarters, has returned to its positive trajectory. Another positive development during the second quarter has been the robust demand from our end consumers. The earlier estimates of replacement demand have proved to be conservative, given the absorption witnessed from markets categorized as Tier 3 and beyond. Despite slow progress in projects across the country, there was a sharp rise in volume for sanitaryware and faucetware products in the second quarter, indicating strong underlying demand in the home improvement category. On the operational side, we had stabilized operations towards the end of first quarter, as we shared in a prior call. The normal structure of three shifts of 8 hours each had resumed in July itself. Thus, effective working days and hours were substantially higher this quarter compared to Q1. Our subsidiary joint venture tiles company, Anjani, which resumed operations on 5th August, as indicated, has quickly ramped up to 95% utilization. In October, capacity utilization was 100%. Through a concerted focus on manufacturing excellence, we have automated processes such as pressure casting, antibacterial glazing, as well as grinding, polishing, and electroplating. The emphasis on agile infrastructure with a mix of in-house and outsourced facilities has allowed us to rapidly respond to shifts in demand. This keeps operations agile and flexible, providing the company with on-tap capacity and resilience, which enabled it to rebound strongly in Q2. Coming to our numbers, revenues in Q2 FY21 were ₹317.90 crores versus ₹142.59 crores in Q1 of FY21, higher by 123%. EBITDA was ₹44.4 crores in Q2, bouncing back from ₹13.52 crores reported in Q1 this year. The EBITDA margin has firmed up to 13.97%, an increase of 449 basis points. PAT was ₹26.29 crores, nearly 803% higher than in Q1. Due to the sharp rebound in performance, the performance in Q2 this year has nearly reached parity when compared to Q2 of last year, despite the challenging backdrop. For Q2 FY21, the revenue for the quarter stood at 317.90 crores versus 327.23 crores in Q2 FY20, which is down by 2.85% on a YOY basis. To reiterate, our performance during the quarter was driven by the core businesses of sanitaryware and faucetware, essentially from our well-established presence in Tier 3 markets. This was supported by the increased traction in contactless and touchless products. For Q2 FY21, 50% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 26% from faucetware. Tiles presented 21% and wellness 3%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered an increase of 0.78%. Faucetware revenues increased by 3.68%, tiles declined by 11.76%, and wellness declined by 28.52%. Sanitaryware has bounced back strongly in Q2, both from an absolute number and from a growth trajectory standpoint. Faucetware, which had delivered consistent growth historically since inception, the two core verticals of the business now contribute 76% of revenues once again. EBITDA, excluding other income for FY21 Q2, was 40.46 crores versus 41.59 crores in Q2 FY20. The EBITDA margin for Q2 FY21 stood at 12.7%, at the same level of that of Q2 FY20. Profit before tax for Q2 FY21 is 35.13 crores against PBT of Q2 FY20 of 36.70 crores, a decline of 4.3%. Tax expense for Q2 FY21 is 8.84 crores against 6.67 crores in Q2 FY20, an increase of 32.5%. Profit after tax for Q2 FY21 is 26.29 crores against a YOY number of rupees 30 crores. EPS for Q2 was 20.2 versus rupees 23.1 in Q2 FY19-20. Inventory days in Q2 FY21 were 51 days compared to 52 days in Q2 FY20. Receivable days in Q2 FY21 were 55 days versus 60 days. Payable days in Q2 were 38 days against 28 days in Q2 FY20. Therefore, net working capital days in Q2 FY21 was 68 days versus 84 days in Q2 of FY20. This has been a focus area for the company, and the efforts in the last few years towards digitization and establishing localized warehousing have enabled us to offer just-in-time inventory solution in finished goods to trade partners and large customers. This enables declogging at the respective locations and sites, which leads to faster and smaller billing cycles for CERA, enabling better receivable management. Through judicious capital management, the company was able to increase its already high liquidity position to 362 crores as on 30th September 2020, from 268 crores as on 30th June 2020. Going ahead, CERA will maintain disciplined credit policies while sustaining the prudent capex outlay to further elevate its robust financial position. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Archana Kode from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. And two questions from my side. So firstly, in the press release, it is mentioned that the curry manufacturing has been disrupted due to some employee-related issues. So what is the status on that as of now?
Hi, Archana. We have given out 3 communications to the stock exchange on this topic. And what we said is that some of the workers of the sanitary ware unit were demanding higher fixed pay. So we have a system of fixed and variable pay, and as any management, it's always our attempt to incentivize the workers and pay a higher portion of variable pay. So one of the union leaders wanted an increase in fixed pay, and there was a slight disruption. And we approached the Labor Department, Government of Gujarat, which on 16th October issued a directive prohibiting the disruption. So now we are engaging with the union leader and the labor to come back to normalcy in production. Meanwhile, the adjacent factory of faucetware is almost unaffected. And thirdly, and most importantly, more than 53% of products in sanitaryware are now being sourced from outsourcing partners, even in Q2. So all attempts have been made to make sure there is no impact in the marketplace, and all our trade partners, whether it's dealers or project customers, continue to receive all products well in time.
Sure. So is that my understanding correct, that the issue, what is happening there, is not yet resolved?
It's an ongoing situation. Yes, we have not come back to the same capacity utilization that we had in end of Q1 and bulk of Q2. So yes, there is a slight disruption, but these are ongoing discussions. We did get some outside temporary workforce. So all attempts are being made to go back to that 80% plus of capacity utilization.
Sure, sir. And so secondly, during this lockdown, I'm sure that many unorganized players might have faced a situation wherein there is production disruption. So has we gained the market share in the sanitaryware and faucet because of that, and how we should look at H2 FY21? Is it that the pent-up demand has really helped us to post such robust sales growth for Q2, or how we should look at H2 FY21, sir?
See, both in Q1 of this year and even in some part of Q2 of this year, bulk of the project sites were not fully operational. But there was a surge in demand. So I won't call this pent-up demand. I would say that all estimates made by companies, including us, on end consumer replacement demand were very conservative. So the end consumer demand is actually much higher as a percentage of total industry than we used to estimate. And that was evident because most project sites were closed. So that's what you see. And we have anecdotal information from our frontline dealers and sales force that a lot of households had disposable income because there were no other avenues like travel, entertainment and other things to spend on. So home improvement became a focus area for a lot of households.
Sure, sir. Sir, just to follow up on that, given, you know, the tier 3, tier 4 and the smaller towns are really doing well, so is it fair to assume that as and when the metros and maybe the tier 1 cities will come up, we will be able to maybe surpass the growth we have shown in Q2?
We'll wait for those trends to actually take place before taking a view on them. But yes, the Q2 trends have been very encouraging month on month and as a quarter. And sanitaryware growth is back on track. Faucetware growth has been on track and continues to be on track. And you can see the impact on working capital, the drastic reduction in working capital. In Cera, we were always a category leader in the lowest working capital. We had the lowest receivable days, but that's further going down. So which shows that a lot of business is now cash and carry.
Right, sir. Sure, sir. So thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sitesh Chheda from Lucky Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand a couple of things. When we were at the end of the quarter one call, we were looking at, overall growth. So, considering what was happening in faucets, the import restrictions or, challenges in sanitary ware. But considering that, the quarter two is a largely flattish performance. So just wanted to, take your, update on, how do you see it incrementally and what would have been the reason for a deviation vis-a-vis the Q1 commentary? My second question is, lot of reports are suggesting changes in market share in sanitary ware. So if you have any comment of any change in market share or any for us as well as largely at the industry level, if you could, give some comments there.
See, first, on the imports, you see the Indian consumer is now preferring made in India products, and we've been talking about that for a number of years, and we have built domestic capabilities in manufacturing, so we are not one of those China import dependent companies. So that's a welcome development. As far as restrictions on import is concerned, there was only a marginal import duty of 5 to 10%. So other than that, there are no barriers to import. So other companies, I'm sure, continue to import from China, and it's a matter of time before a certificate of origin will become mandatory, as it has become mandatory in all e-commerce sales. So that is one. As far as the top line is concerned, we are quite happy to have this top line with both the core segments firing very well. So both sanitary ware growth and faucet ware growth are back on track. Working capital is reduced. Inventory levels are low. Receivable levels are very low. On all parameters, we have done very well. We have increased our cash position by almost 95 crores during the quarter. And all this is being achieved on an annual capex budget only of 21 crores. So on all parameters, yes, is there scope for growth? Of course, there's always scope for growth by introducing new SKUs, further segmenting the market. That is always our attempt. And as far as market share is concerned, we get numbers, of course, of our peer group and ourselves, but these are not authenticated by any third-party research agency. So we can't really say who's gained and who's lost, but we are a category leader in sanitary ware. We are most profitable in sanitary ware, the highest margins and lowest receivable days, lowest working capital, highest cash position. So on all parameters and on every parameter, we are a category leader.
But do you see any market share changes for you, or the market share is largely intact? Because I think you said sanitary ware growth rate is flat, right, in quarter two, and faucet is 3%, right?
That is for the company. As an industry, we don't get any third-party data. But if you see for the last few quarters, our sanitary ware business, because it was operating from a very high base, we were not getting Q-on-Q or even Y-o-Y increase in top line for the sanitary ware vertical, which we have come back to. That was the major achievement.
Okay. And lastly, do you see the growth rate now, here on the growth rate incrementally converting into a double-digit growth rate? Do you see that kind of movement at the ground?
You see, this is housing is a highly interest rate sensitive sector, and now home loans at 6.75, then the Awas Yojana has been a huge success. Low cost and mid-income housing, the velocity, whoever we speak to, the velocity is very, very strong. So based on those parameters, and we are squarely in that market, 70% of WIP of the real estate is mid-income housing and below. So Cera as a brand is firmly, squarely positioned to capture that market. So going forward, if not double digit, at least high single digit is definitely possible.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. From Shanti Patel from SP Investment, please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. My first question is, what is our PAT in terms of percentage, and do you think in future it will increase? And secondly, what is our return on capital employed and return on equity today, and what you think about the future?
Our PAT for Q2 FY21 is 8.17%.
Right.
Last year the same number was 9.06%.
No, fine. But do you think it will probability of increasing that in the next 1 or 2 years?
Yes, yes. If you see the comparison between Q1 and Q2, even though Q1 was not a normal quarter, there has been a substantial increase. We are almost at the same level of last year. That is one. PBT is even closer than PAT from between last year on a YOY basis, because there was a 2.5 crore extra tax payment. That's the difference you see in the PAT. That's one. Going forward, you see, we have built up a cash position during the quarter of 95 crores, besides being a debt-free company. And what was your last question?
Return on capital employed and return on equity.
So ROC is normally we calculate at the end of the year. So for 31st March 20, without treasury, it was 25%. With treasury, it was 20%.
It is return on capital employed.
That's right.
And what about return on equity? I think it will be same because there is no debt.
No, it won't be same because of very high tax incidence.
Oh, so how much it comes to?
I'll give you the number of last year. Siddharth, can you just give the number of last year 12 months, ROE?
Okay, it was 20%. And now the last question is, because our government has got to policy to increase the income of the farmers substantially. Now, if that happens, what will be the demand from rural area as far as the industry is concerned, and what about our company?
So first, I'll just give you some very interesting data on our sales from tier 1, 2 and 3 markets. So for the quarter, 26% of our top line was from tier 1 markets with population about 25 lakhs. For the same quarter, 13% of our sales were from tier 2 markets with population of between 10 lakhs to 25 lakhs. And 60% of our sales were from tier 3 and below markets with populations of 10 lakhs and below. So we are squarely positioned to take advantage of the rural demand, the increase in farmers' income, and the short gestation projects in the rural and semi-urban and small towns. So these projects are very short gestation.
But sir, I think we don't have that capacity expansion plan as on today, if I'm not wrong, which can, you know, cater to the substantial increase in the demand from that area. So what about that?
Sir, we have on-tap capacity available with our contracting vendors and partners. So again, I'll give you a statistic. For the quarter, 58.8% of our sanitaryware sales were from these outsourcing partners, and 53.73% of our sales in faucetware were from outsourcing partners. So this on-tap capacity does not require the company to make heavy capex on its own books. And we use our own dedicated capacity for complicated and high-end products. So that is the strategy, and that's why we get this ROCE.
No, but then it will not impact our margin if we get it done through contractors.
In fact, the cost of manufacture in most of the contractors is lower than any companies, because they have lower overheads, very high volumes, and they know how to contain costs. They don't have a R&D department, a sales and marketing department, and other typical overheads that a company has. So we have found that buying from these outsourcing partners increases our margin.
Oh.
And these are all incremental sales. So what you have suggested is correct. Rural and semi-urban market, tier 3 and below markets, that is squarely where we are focused. Affordable housing, mid-income housing, which is 70% of the current WIP, that's exactly where we are focused. And that's where the future market lies.
So I think in future, our growth should be in double digit. Correct?
Well, we'll wait for that to happen before, you know, giving any guidance to that effect. So we'll wait for that to take place.
No, I mean, your opinion. I'm just from the circumstances prevalent today and the government policy. I mean, you are the best person to judge because you are in the industry. I'm not telling you to give guidance, but what is your worst feeling?
For us, you know, we'll wait for those events to unfold before taking a view on them.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. You may rejoin the question queue for your follow-up. The next question is from the line of Hiral Desai from Anived PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ayush. Greetings of the festive season to you and everybody at Sera. I had a couple of questions. So one was on the working capital, which you sort of alluded to earlier in the call. Now, we've seen a significant improvement versus, you know, even March of this year, which was a significant improvement versus the prior reporting period. And if I look at the operating cash flow for H1, we are at about 143 crores versus an EBITDA of about 50 crores. So how sustainable are some of the, you know, the just-in-time inventory and some of the initiatives that you've spoken about? And a related question to that is, you know, given that there is a significant amount of cash pile-up now happening, I mean, what is the thought on the payout or, you know, sort of any M&A in the pipeline?
Okay, thanks, Hiral, and many happy returns for Diwali as well. But most important is payable days. You see, out of the 3 components of working capital, our payable days have been historically in the 20s. So because the company was cash rich, they always used to pay well before the contracted period and try and extract any financial concessions.
Right.
Now what has happened is in discussions with our suppliers, those financial concessions are also available and we have been able to increase the payable days from 28 to almost 38. So that is the biggest component of the change in working capital. And the receivable days, a lot of new businesses is being done on cash and carry. So especially tiles, which is the lowest margin business of all 3, almost all sales are being done on cash and carry. We have been able to increase our tiles selling price by 3% during the quarter, and from credit sales, we are trying to reduce it to about 80-85% of cash and carry. So those are the 2 components, how sustainable they are. Yes, if we are willing to take a slower growth trajectory in tiles, but are definitely more profitable and less risky one, that is definitely sustainable.
And this move towards cash and carry would be true for the industry as a whole, or this is much more specific to Sera?
It's specific to Sera. The industry is moving in the other direction of somehow lubricating sales by extending credit. So that has been a phenomena that we have seen in the industry, but you know Sera and you know how conservatively it is managed from a financial standpoint, so they will never do something like that. And that also answers your last question on the cash. The cash number is now crossed 360 crores. And
right.
94 crores was added during the quarter where most companies were burning cash.
Right.
Currently, there is no M&A activity or in, massive increase in CapEx. In fact, CapEx for this year has gone down from a normal number of 50-55 crores to 21 crores.
Right.
So whether there will be a payout in the form of a special dividend or a buyback, that is something that I think the shareholders and board will take a collective call at a later date. But currently, there is no proposal in front of the board to consider any of these activities of either M&A or a special payout or buyback.
Okay. And my second question was on the gross margin. So if I look at it sequentially also, there is, you know, about 150 basis points deterioration in the gross margin. Now, this is despite higher sales, lower raw material prices, and the fact that I think you were likely to take a price increase in July. So just wanted to understand the gross margin.
The price increase took place of around 3% in August in sanitary ware.
Okay.
And in faucet ware, the pricing is much more dynamic, linked to brass pricing. So brass was down by 3-4%. So there was no need to take a price hike at the same time. But in any case, it's much more dynamic. But the share of entry level products in sanitary ware did increase.
Okay.
From 38% to 40% YOY. So I'll again give you the three numbers. Entry level from 38 to 40, mid level from 12 to 12, and premium from 49 to 48 in sanitary ware. In faucet ware, entry level from 32 to 31, mid level from 19 to 16, and premium from 49 to 53.
But Ayush, last time I think on the call you had mentioned that there is not too much of margin differential between the entry level products versus the premium products, and the move that you are talking about year over year is not a very large move per se.
Right.
So that I'm still not very clear on this 150 basis points sequential decline in the gross margin.
And I'll give you one more reason. One sec, I'll just look at the gas price for you. In, again, not comparable, but Q1 we paid an average, weighted average 12.4, and Q2 we paid 19.22. Last year we paid 24.23.
Okay.
So the only other item that remains is basically discounts and sales incentives.
Okay. Got it. I'll probably take it offline.
Okay.
Thank you. All the best and happy Diwali.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhisar Jain from Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. In the Q1 call, you had mentioned that, there will be tightening on the other expenses, and we had also negotiated some of the rentals down. So, what would be the overall reduction that you're looking at for this year? Because there could have been renegotiations on that front. Are we on track for the reduction that we had mentioned in Q1?
Yes, the guidance on that front was 10 crores of fixed cost expenses in rentals and other fixed cost contracts to be negotiated downwards.
Right.
And 10 crores per annum. So that number remains.
Okay. Understood. And sir, in terms of the capacity utilization across, faucet ware and sanitary ware, right now in Q3, what would be the level that we would be operating at?
I'll give you that number. Sanitary ware for Q2 FY21 was 68%. And faucet ware was 46%.
Okay. And sir, would there be some improvement from this now in Q3?
Yes, we are expecting improvement. But in any case, this is not a reflection on sales because outsourcing partners are meeting the current demand.
Right.
And whatever disruption there was for a period and a slight disruption that continues is limited only to the sanitary ware facility. So the faucet ware facility's low capacity utilization numbers are not related to any disruption, but the kind of products that they make and the demand for those products.
Right. So actually, sir, I just wanted to understand that because of this temporary disruption in the sanitary ware facility, did we see any, meaningful impact in sales also, even despite having outsourcing and contract partner support, but did we see it in Q2, a meaningful impact, and are we going to see a meaningful impact even in Q3?
See, so far the products that are required by the market are being met through outsourcing partners. And we expect a very early resolution. In any case, the plant is operating, products are being shipped from the plant. maybe not at the same capacity percentage that we are used to, but we expect a very early resolution. So marketplace disruption, we are not seeing any major numbers or material impact so far.
Okay, understood. And sir, just last question. So sir, on this, substantial improvement in the working capital and really good cash flow generation, congratulations for that. But sir, just wanted to understand that, can this stabilize at this level, whatever we are now, you know, given a few days here and there, or will there be a little bit of volatility in this number because this is, you know, a really good level that we have in the past not been able to operate at this level for too long, right?
See, we have been a category leader in terms of receivable days, and our entire focus is always on receivable days, because payable days is something that the management can easily control. So this time, besides reducing receivable days from 59 to 54, we also turned our attention to payable days, because we always wanted to extract the best price we used to pay earlier than contracted terms. Now, keeping those commercial gains intact, we have increased our payable days. And in tiles and in substantial part of even sanitaryware and faucetware, we have moved to cash and carry. So we'll see whether the demand trends of the future allow us to remain in cash and carry to the extent that we managed in Q2.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinod Modi from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just my question pertains to, sir, this EBITDA margin, the 12.7 EBITDA margin that we have seen in this quarter. I just wanted to understand, going forward, considering the fact that we have taken, 3% plus kind of price increase in the month of August in sanitaryware categories, and with growing percentage in this segment in terms of revenue, do you see that there is some scope for the margin improvement going forward in coming quarters?
See, with a slight top line increase, there is scope for margin improvement, because the raw material environment, the natural gas environment, all those are very benign. They are all trending downwards. So that's why there was no need to increase the MRPs by 5%. We only needed to take a 3% increase. And going forward, if the demand trends continue the way they were in Q2, if they remain as strong, then yes, that is definitely possible.
Great. And this, sir, you also said 3% kind of, price increase in tile segment. This is mainly because of changing product mix in terms of, higher GBT sales. Because I think from the competitors, sir, be it Kajaria and Somani, they have not said any sort of, price increase industry took, in the tile segment.
See, our GBT sales are now 28% of sales.
Yeah.
Then double charge is 19% of sales. Wall tiles are 31% of sales. Others are 13%. And the lowest end soluble salt is now only 9% of sales.
Okay. So basically,
Because there is design differentiation, we are in a position to take a price increase and also try for cash and carry. So bulk of sales in any case are now cash and carry in tiles, which is been the major reason why working capital has reduced so much. So if the markets remain as strong as they are, then this trend can continue. And even after all this, our tiles business is a very small business. So the names you have taken, their tiles businesses are very large businesses.
Yeah.
So their pricing decisions will have far-reaching impact. Our price increase decision has a minimal impact on us and definitely no impact on the industry.
Got it. And last, sir, this about this tile segment only. Of course, our, AP plant, AP tiles plant, restarted from the month of August. So, of course, that would have, some sort of impact, and probably that is the reason we are seeing almost 12% kind of, decline on a YOY basis in this segment. So, with this, full impact from this quarter three onward, do we see that, tiles, composition in terms of revenue composition should increase here on? And that will have, impact on blended level in terms of margins?
See, tiles has always been between 18% and 21% of the company's top line. And going forward, that is the expected number.
Okay.
So, tiles has the least impact on margins and, of course, impact on working capital and top line. As far as Anjani is concerned now, Anjani is a JV. And together, Anjani and Milo, the two JVs, contribute less than 35% of tile sales. Anjani and Milo both make only high-end GVT tiles now. So they don't make any low-end products. So those are the positive incremental steps that have been taken by the JV. And 65% of our tile sales still are procured from third-party vendors.
Okay, great. Got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. And all the best. And wish you a very happy Diwali, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from ICICI AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. A couple of questions. The first is that on the sanitary ware business, what is the volume growth you actually saw and what is the realization per piece in sanitary ware? Did you increase any realization changes? The second question is that the tiles business, you said it's around 18-20% of the sales. What is the margin in tile business we actually get, which is after directing the charges, direct expenses, etc.? What is the margin we make and what is the catch-up we can actually do with in terms of margins? So what is your aspiration? Where are we now? The third question is that there is a capital expenditure towards building these employee colony. If you can just help me understand how many buildings or how many apartments we are constructing and where are we now on that capital expenditure?
So I'll come one by one. First of all, the tiles business, we don't really give out individual EBITDA. We have a blended EBITDA for the company where the sanitary ware business has the highest EBITDA percentage, then comes faucet ware, then comes the company blended average, and then comes tiles. So that is the nature of each of these segments across all companies. And going forward, tiles, not only is the EBITDA percentage increasing, but tiles industry generally had a problem of extended credit and long working capital cycles, low asset turns per year. All that has been addressed first by 65% of our tile sales being outsourced. Secondly, by keeping zero inventory. So we have been working right now in tiles on a zero inventory model. Our only working capital involved was receivables minus payables. So the payables again in this business are very high. We had kept it very low, so we are inching closer to industry standard. Then as far as volumes in sanitary ware, we have now crossed 425 SKUs. So now the per ton realization, per piece realization has very little meaning because products start at 2000 rupees and go up to 25,000 in the Sera brand, then comes the Senator brand which go up to 70,000 and Isvia go up to 3 lakh rupees per SKU. So value is the best determinant because the business complexity has dramatically changed from in the last 10 years in sanitary ware. And the raw material cost in sanitary ware continues to be very, very low. The gas prices continue to be low, energy costs continue to be low. So the bulk of the business requirements are the brand promise, the delivery of post-sales services, engagement with trade partners. So that's why we always call this business a moated business, where barriers to entry have remained very, very high. None of the large cap companies have been able to enter this business because it requires 20, 25 years of building up brand promise and an after-sales service network. So those are the parameters on which we evaluate the sanitary ware business.
Okay. And the last thing on the capital expenditure plan?
I didn't get it, but I think the last question was on that staff colony.
Yeah, Yeah, so you, there is some allocation towards Top Colony. I just want to understand what is the cumulative allocation and where are we now on the allocation, and what does it translate to in terms of either apartments or, you know, rooms? Like, how, what is that broadly?
This was about a 25-26 crore CapEx undertaking in 2018.
Uh-huh.
It was completed before March 2020, and the staff and supervisory staff at both the sanitaryware and faucetware factories in Kadi got allocated these apartments in these buildings. So I've seen the colony.
It's done now.
Very large colony, very close to the factory, but number of apartments and all, I can email you offline.
No problem. So you're saying that it's that capital expenditure is behind us now. There's nothing more.
Behind us, it was a 25-26 crore project.
Got it.
Spread over 2 years.
Got it, got it. On the tile margin, you said you don't give out, give it out, but just for us to understand in terms of how much of catch-up can we do and how much of additional, you know, I mean, amount that can actually come in terms of profits over the next couple of years when you actually strengthen it as you go forward.
Normal CapEx has been between 45 and 60 crores annually over the last 5-6 years. This year the number is 21 crores, and I can give you a split if that helps. Sanitaryware automation is about 5.85 crores. Faucetware automation is 4.41 crores. Customer touchpoints is 6.15 crores. The land adjacent to our sanitaryware facility was bought for 3.19 crores, and logistics and IT is 2.2 crores.
Got it. Okay. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, sir. So two questions from my side. Firstly, rather one question. So firstly, on when you said that you want to keep your tiles percentage in 15%-18%, then fair to say that you are not looking at incremental any investment in JV or anywhere, new JVs on tiles business also, or any outsourcing partner or anything?
You see, the, we have a lot of outsourcing partners, and what they tell us is that they value our offtake contracts much more than they value equity. So in Mylo, for instance, a year and a half ago, we put in 8.5 crores as equity for 26% stake. So that equity is not as valuable to them as a 100% offtake contract.
Okay.
Going forward, these offtake contracts, which are much more valuable to them and have zero cost for the company, that is the model that we are adopting. And part of that contract is also zero inventory. So we'll keep zero inventory on the Cera balance sheet or in our plant, and direct shipping of products from our outsourcing partners to our localized warehousing across the country will take place. That model has already been implemented.
Okay.
We don't feel that there is a need to employ more capital in the tiles business at this stage, and there's enough capacity available on tap.
Okay. Okay. And anyway, are we looking any opportunity on export in tiles or too early, just at small scale, so firstly, only domestic focus?
Yes, for us, the export is not a big opportunity, but for the tile industry, it's almost a $2 billion opportunity, which the tile industry is capitalized on very well. A lot of Chinese export of tiles has been replaced by Indian tiles in Western Europe and American markets. And even the GCC countries, which have been talking about anti-dumping duties, only one of them, Oman, has been able to implement the anti-dumping duty against Indian tiles. All the other GCC countries continue to import a lot of tiles from India.
So that's why we are not looking at it from our perspective. I understand industry is looking, but from our perspective, are we looking at that export opportunity?
For us, it may not make sense, because first we'll have to promote the Cera Tiles brand in those markets. And for us, the business is too small to be able to do that.
Okay. And sir, just one last suggestion from my end. I understand we don't give segmental margins, but we are fairly open in terms of giving the segmental revenue of sanitaryware, faucetware, as well as tiles and other segments. it would be really great if you start incorporating this in your press release as well as in your annual report. I think that would be really great from investors' perspective.
Yes, sir. We do that regularly, so we'll be happy to incorporate it in the investor presentations that we put on our website.
Yeah, it will be great, really. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Ritesh Shah from Investec Capital, may please go ahead with your question, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, how is the inventory in the channel?
You mean our trade partners?
Yes, sir.
See, we are billing and interaction stops post-billing with the trade partners. But we, our sales force, which meets the trade partners regularly, says that demand, especially for Q2, has been very strong. And there was almost a just-in-time delivery and just-in-time sale of all products. So there is very little inventory with our trade partners is what we hear on an anecdotal basis.
Okay. And sir, is our competition facing supply side issues and hence we are benefiting on volume growth? Is it something which is correct?
I think Q2 was a huge demand-led revival, and previous estimates of home improvement and size of the home improvement replacement market have all had to change. So this was completely demand-led, and supply was eventually caught up with demand. So I don't think supply constraints as such is an issue. It is all demand-led. And supply eventually can be ramped up. There is outsourcing. There are many other avenues. So supply eventually with a lag of 15-20 days always catches up.
That's useful. Sir, second question is, on the gross margins, you explained multiple variables and you touched upon discounts and commissions, but you didn't quantify anything over there. So possible for you to provide some color on this particular variable to understand gross margins better?
Yes, I can give you some color on gross margins. Q2 FY21 was 47.52. And Q2 FY20 was 51.25.
Okay. And the Q1?
Q1, H1 I can give you H1 because Q1 was a abnormal Q1. H1 was 48% versus 52.47%, which incorporates the abnormal Q1 as well.
Okay, that's helpful. And sir, last question, you did give a mix on economy, medium and premium segments. Sir, are we witnessing a trend in the marketplace where there is downtrading which is happening? And to counter this, is there some bundling or any specific marketing practices that we are adopting to improve our product mix profile? That's the last question, sir.
You see, in any case, after the Q1 that companies had, managements and most companies are happy to take whatever sale comes their way, but the sales numbers and demand was much stronger than anticipated. But given the fact that 70% of WIP is affordable housing, which has the highest velocity, what we are doing from the management standpoint is trying to offer bundle deals with faucetware, sanitaryware, wellness, tiles. So bundling of deals takes care of down trading if it is happening. But affordable housing being the biggest theme with the highest velocity, that's where the meat of the market is.
So that's quite an encouraging step, what you indicated on bundling. It's quite a positive. Just a related data point, is it possible for you to quantify what percentage of our sales goes through bundling strategies? That's a very encouraging measure from the management, honestly.
But those are done by our trade partners. You see, with 70% sales being done by our trade partners, there are a lot of bundling deals that they offer consumers.
Okay, it happens at the trade level, but we won't have that data from the company levels to the dealer.
So company level to the dealer also, I mean, it's a very complicated matrix of discounts, incentives, and a mixture of fast moving, slow moving products. Then the bundle also includes some very premium items which you have to take with high velocity products. It's a very, very complicated matrix with too many products in the part of the bundle.
Okay. I have more questions. I'll follow it up with you. Thank you so much for the answer and good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how has been the growth in our, you know, touch-free products, you know, both in the sanitaryware and faucet? We did an average of, I think, 6,000 units in previous quarter. So what is the run rate as of now?
6,000 was the demand when we reopened.
Right.
And we'll be selling about 1,200 a month. 6,000 was the demand as soon as we reopened in the middle of Q1.
Correct.
And, monthly sales will be about 1,000 to 1,200, which were 100 last year. So 12x sales of touchless products.
Correct. And sir, we keep hearing that, you know, organized players have added, you know, a dealer distributor in last 6 months. You know, so any number that you can quantify for Cera as of now?
Yes, I can tell you the dealer number changes during the last 6 months. I can give you that. On March 2020, we had a total of 3,564 dealers, and that number became 3,631 on 30th June 20. And I'm just totaling this number. 1 second.
Yeah.
It became 3,670 on 30th September.
Correct. And I have one more thing, if I can ask. So all the brands are now getting deeper into the tier 3, tier 4 and tier 5 cities. So how is the dealer stickiness there? What is the average ticket size and how are the trade practices there? So if you can throw some light on that.
The average ticket size is a very granular information. The best way to look at it is a dealer concentration. The top 100 dealers still account on a H1 basis 37% of sales, and top 500 dealers account for 68% of sales on a H1 basis.
Okay.
So sizable dealers are further expanding their footprint. That's the takeaway from dealer behavior.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Cera remains positive that its strong positioning in the industry and improving macros will help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. With this, I hope I have been able to answer your question satisfactorily. However, should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Before I close, on behalf of the Cera family, I warmly extend Diwali greetings to each and every one of you and wish you all a very prosperous new year. Thank you once again for taking time to join the call and see you all next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, this concludes this conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.